Okay, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Shabtai Bittman. I'm with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. I have a number of co-authors here. I won't name them all, but the talk is on our new project that we're just getting started, which we've called semi-virtual model dairy farmlets, and the purpose is to study nutrient flow. And you'll see in a few minutes why we're calling it a semi-virtual model. So this is just a depiction of a farming system. Here we are. So this is, and this represents a farming system here in the context of the environment. And the purpose is just to show the multiple ways in which nutrients, in this case nitrogen, can be lost from that system, and then what happens to it in the environment. And clearly, this is referred to as a nitrogen cascade, and clearly this is there's a need to try to maintain, to contain the nutrients on the farm. So we can look in a farming system or a field in this way, a leaky pipe model. Very simplistic, but it actually really describes a lot of the issues. So at the input stage, you can have fertilizer, manure, or feeds, and then on the output on a dairy farm system, it would be milk and some cows that would be, and perhaps some manure that might be sent out. So if you're if you have a surplus, an abundance of inputs relative to the outputs, there's almost no other outcome than to have leakage from the system, and the leakages these are some of the leakages that can occur. So it's obviously important to maintain a nice and appropriate balance between the inputs and the outputs in the system. But if you but you also need to control the leakages, because otherwise you won't get your inputs translating into outputs. And so these are the leakages. And if you block off, let's say, ammonia, for example, by, say, a low-emission manure applicator, and you don't do anything about your inputs and outputs, then you likely cause pollution swapping. So if you block off one of the avenues of leakage, you may get another one. Oftentimes it could turn out to be leaching. So it's really important to do both things. It's to balance the nutrients and to control the leakages. You have to do both in order to keep the nutrients on the farm. So the work that we're doing really is inspired by this project in the Netherlands. It's called a De Marke farm, and it was something that they started in the late 90s. So it's a whole working farm. It's intended to make money and also to implement all of the best technologies to reduce impact on the environment, to minimize impact on the environment. And they managed to really reduce nitrogen loss to the environment. But the reason I point this out is because some of the findings from looking at the whole farm system were completely counterintuitive. So one of them is that by switching half their cropping area from grass to corn, which is known to be, of course, more leaky, they actually vastly reduce the loss of nitrogen into the environment. And the reason is that they maintain a better nutrient balance on the farm. It allowed them to import less nutrients. So that, going back to that model, leaky pipe, if they reduce the surplus, then they had a good outcome. So the point being for us is that you need to look at a whole system. Sometimes you need to address the issue at the system level in order to solve some of the problems. So our hypothesis is that whole farm optimization using novel technologies will improve farm productivity with less inputs, less costs, and with improved nutrient balances. So this is a diagram. The diagram itself I've borrowed unabashedly from the integrated farm system model. But the purpose is really to show three components to our study. There's three boxes, and the box on the left is the field component, crop production, and nutrient management. And this part we do in the field. These are actual field trials. Then the products that we harvest then go into a laboratory, get analyzed, and then they're subject to a very sophisticated animal nutrition models, which are available now. And they can then predict the requirements for supplements, and they can predict the amount of milk that is produced, and also the amount of excretion, the nutrients that are excreted. And the idea is that you want to have less excretion, more milk production, and you can try different scenarios. And finally, we would use a whole farm model, such as IFSM. We have HOLOS in Canada, which is then would cover some of the other missing components which are very important. For example, ammonia loss from storages. So if you just look at the field and you just look at the animals, then you will be overestimating the amount of nitrogen that you have available, because a lot of ammonia is actually lost from manure storages and buildings, just for example. There's also harvesting losses. So that's the concept, and that's why it's a semi-virtual system. Part of it is real, part of it is simulated. So I'm going to mainly talk about the first part of it, which is the field study. And we have form farmlet scenarios, and we're interested in the grass and corn components. So this is what it roughly looks like. Don't read all of this, but it's to show that we've got the four scenarios, and we've got different strategies for nutrient management and for cropping management. So I'll get into more detail now. So, and this is what it looks like in real life. It's our first year. We haven't implemented all the practices yet. But this is what it looks like. So basically, it's a field trial. The difference being only that the plots are large enough and there's enough buffer area around it that we can use large equipment. So we can actually use farm equipment with this. And we have the grass components for all the four scenarios, for all the four farmlets, in concentrated together to minimize edge effect and so on for the corn. So farmlet one. Conventional dairy farm. So this is our conventional dairy farming system in South Coastal BC. It's quite typical of many operations where they depend on grass and corn. So they use whole slurry, spread with a splash blade applicator. They use starter fertilizer almost invariably with commercial fertilizer for corn. And the crop is usually either orchard grass or tall fescue. It's taken an early variety is used. Five cuts are taken. About 60% of the cropland is in grass. About 40% in a high heat unit corn, and there may or may not be cover crops depending on the year. So our first advancement is a nutrient management. So farmlet two doesn't change the cropping system, but it advances the nutrient management system. So our concept is two things: it's low emission application and also using manure separation in order to better address the nitrogen-phosphorus issues. So in our case, manure separation means settling. And the reason we use settling for manure separation is because it's the lowest cost method to actually achieve nitrogen-phosphorus, change in nitrogen-phosphorus ratio. So supernatant is high in nitrogen-phosphorus, and we use that for grass. It's also very thin, and so it has a high infiltration rate, which contributes to low nitrogen losses, low emissions. And the bottom one, it should say high PNN ratio. It says low PN, it's low NP, high PN, sorry. So that sludge, it's still liquid. It's under 10% dry matter, but it can be injected into the ground, and then that sludge can be used as a phosphorus source for corn. I'll show you in a minute. So, and we also use a low-emission applicator. So the idea then is that if we are conserving the ammonia, we're conserving the nitrogen, then we need to bring in less fertilizer to replace that. And so these are results we've had in the past. This is over a number of years. And what you can see is the green line, because I'm having a hard time getting the pointer going. But anyway, the green line is the separated liquid fraction versus the conventional whole slurry, and you can see that you have a way better response. This is an uptake, the same with yield and other indicators. And the other really interesting point is that you can do all that with much less loading of phosphorus, which is the green bars versus the pink bars. So the green bars are the loading with the separated solids, or the separated liquid low solids fraction. Okay, So obviously a higher efficiency system. And then with the sludge, what do we do with that? We first of all inject that at corn row spacing. It's down about 6 inches, 15 centimeters. And then a few days later, we go and we plant the corn as close as possible to the injection furrow. And this is kind of what it looks like on the no-till system. And you can see it's very, very close. It has to be under less than 10 centimeters, less than 4 inches, or it doesn't work very well. So it's really a precision system. And with that, you can get phosphorus uptake from the manure, which is comparable to phosphorus fertilizer. And the yields are comparable as well. So that's the other component, that's another component of the study. So then the next portion is to look at the advanced cropping system. So instead of, my colleague Derek spoke about that downstairs just before lunch. So instead of a 5-cut system for grass, we're going to use a 3-cut system. We're going to use a medium heat unit corn and use some of that and use the corn land also by harvesting earlier, a better opportunity to use a cover crop, which is winter wheat. And this is what it looks like in terms of yield. So with a three-cut system, we actually can bump up yield. And if we use a late variety, we can bump up yield and not sacrifice too much quality. So that's the idea. And then by having higher yield in grass, we can then back off on the amount of grass that we're planting and grow more corn, which is overall higher yielding, and it also has the benefit of the cover crop. And this shows the quality. So even with the three-cut system, we're still overall getting higher total digestible nutrients from that system. So number four, I won't get into too much. We haven't implemented any of these things, but there's a whole bunch of innovative systems that we want to try in. One of them is relay cropping. I'll show you in a minute. Another one, which I'll just mention, is real-time manure application management based on weather forecasts. And it's a system that they're starting to implement in Whatcom County in Washington State right near us, and it seems to be showing up very well. So what they can do with that, predict rainfall, minimize runoff, and they think they can use manure more effectively spreading in February than they do in April. They get less losses, but they have to implement the weather forecasting. So this is the relay cropping idea. The grass is planted into the corn at about the six-leaf stage, and you get a much faster jump on the cover crop, and we can get at least 5 tons per hectare before the end of April in time to plant the next corn crop. So that was the first part. That was the real part, the field part. Those samples then goes into the second part, which is your advanced feed testing. And then from that, we will predict the amount of feed that's required, and we'll try different scenarios, and that will affect your feedback for your inputs in terms of that balance. The excretion is then predicted, and that is used to determine how much manure should be applied in each of these systems to the different crops. And then the milk yield is then considered, and that's part of the overall balance as well. And from that, we want to redefine the land allocation within the farm. And there's no rational way that's being done right now. It's just done. Every farmer just does what he... But there isn't a logical way of doing that, and that's one of the things that we want to do here, because we think we can make significant improvements with a better land allocation. So this is data, again, that Derek showed down below, but for those who weren't there, most of you. So what you see here is the difference in quality, nutritional quality. I won't get into all the details, but there are obviously differences with the 5 and 3 cut. From that, then you can determine your ration, and there's different ways to formulating the ration. The point that I wanted to really make was if you look at the orchard grass at the top line, so the amount of silage is actually fed is less, the production is higher. So obviously we need less land. We do need more corn silage. Corn yields more, so obviously a better use of land. And we can cut back on alfalfa hay, which is purchased. Okay, that's a purchased input. So there are ways of balancing the ration. And then the milk production, the key line is the one that's in bold. The same amount of milk is produced with this formulation. But the milk has slightly lower protein. We have to address that. And the milk urea N is lower, which is a good thing, because that's an indicator of excess nitrogen. So all that will then be brought into the whole farm model, and we'll look at things like greenhouse gas, ammonia losses from facilities, feed harvesting losses, and so on. And then this is just a teaser, it's my last slide, and it just shows the kind of data that you can get. It's this year's data, it's very preliminary. But what you can see is that you have the conventional system, the first bar, and then you have the low-emission separated manure. So you have a bump in yield, okay, and that's just due to better nutrient use. And then the second one is implementing both the improved nutrient use and the harvesting management. So we have, in this case, we didn't have a complete year, but we have the same amount of yield pretty much, but with 30% less nitrogen fertilizer. So that's a major accomplishment. And then with the silage corn, we can see only a slight improvement in yield with the advanced methods, but there's no chemical fertilizer. Okay, so same yield, no chemical fertilizer, better balance. So that's the kind of thing. I'm not saying we're necessarily going to get exactly these results. It's a very preliminary first year, but that's the kind of thing that that we want to find out. So I don't know if anybody's kept time. Yeah, okay.